it's springtime in the valley, which for many of us means it's time to clear the weeds out of our backyards. The same goes for growers, but the landscape of industrial weed killers is changing. A California judge recently ruled that the main ingredient of the popular herbicide Roundup must be labeled as a carcinogen. And as FM89's Carrie Klein reports, another popular herbicide is facing some scrutiny over its health impacts as well.
Weeds kill crops. Kurt Hembry says that's because they're pernicious moochers.
Direct competition for water and nutrients. Whatever the tree likes, the weeds like.
Hembry is a weed specialist with the UC Cooperative Extension in Fresno County.
That's our cheeseweed or our malva.
He advises growers on how to manage their weeds.
Typical winter. These are typical winter weeds.
We're standing in a field near Selma that's got rows and rows of leafy stalks about 2 feet tall.
This is a young almond orchard baby planting. They call them baby trees.
He says one product is especially good at protecting young trees from weeds, paraquat.
Well, paraquat's basically a contact-type herbicide. In other words, it's a material that if you sprayed it on a plant, you disrupt the plant cells.
He says it essentially melts away plant tissue, clearing the ground of any living plant other than the tree.
And basically in 5 or 6 days, it's whatever it touches, it spots up, it causes necrosis and death of the tissue.
Paraquat is popular because it's cheap and effective. But like many chemicals, it's dangerous. It's a highly controlled, lethal substance with strict instructions to keep handlers safe. Nonetheless, an emerging body of research suggests mere exposure to the chemical is correlated with increased risk of Parkinson's disease. Many countries have outlawed the herbicide, including the European Union, which banned it in 2007, partly because of uncertainty surrounding Parkinson's. As researchers work to tease out the nature of that correlation, paraquat remains one of the most common herbicides in California. To be clear, Hembry says paraquat is explicitly labeled as toxic.
There's different warning label levels. This is danger, which is the highest level you can have.
Swallowing even a small amount can lead to organ failure and death. It's occasionally used even for suicides, particularly in developing countries. To prevent accidental ingestion, it's dyed blue and given a sharp smell. It's typically sprayed by machine to minimize human contact.
You're going to wear, you know, rubber boots. You're going to wear goggles while you're spraying. You're going to wear a helmet. You don't want to get the stuff on your skin, in your mouth, or anywhere.
Paraquat is among the top 10 most common herbicides in California, and the San Joaquin Valley gets over 3/4 of the state total. It's used on scores of crops, primarily tree nuts, grapes, alfalfa, and cotton. And before the drought struck, paraquat use was rising. In 2011, valley growers used almost 80% more of it than they did in 1990, the earliest year data are available. Some researchers say those numbers are concerning.
The number of studies that have linked paraquat use occupationally to increased risk of Parkinson's should raise some concerns if there is an increasing environmental presence.
Dr. Caroline Tanner is a neurologist at UC San Francisco who's dedicated her career to studying Parkinson's disease. In 2011, she published a highly cited study based on in-depth surveys with agricultural workers in the Midwest.
People who mixed or applied this chemical had more than double the risk of developing Parkinson's disease compared to people really very similar as far as, you know, where they lived, even what they did for a living, age and gender.
Notably, Tanner says, people who said they were careful with personal protective equipment were an exception.
Those people, when exposed to paraquat, still didn't have a greater risk of Parkinson's.
Tanner is careful to call the Parkinson's-paraquat relationship a correlation, not causation. But it's one of many studies that suggests that correlation. And both Tanner and a co-author at the National Institutes of Health argue that's enough reason to raise alarm bells, even without evidence for cause and effect. Not all researchers are quite as convinced. Sarisha Nandapati is a neurologist with Kaiser Permanente in Marin County. She authored a review last year that compiled other studies of Parkinson's disease. Of the 8 studies she found that mentioned paraquat, 1 study demonstrated no connection between the two, and 3 others showed a correlation only when paraquat was combined with other risk factors.
So it seems like genetic factors can influence it. Even synergistic effects between paraquat and other pesticides can lead to some sort of correlation between paraquat and Parkinson's. But the data is certainly mixed.
Part of what's confounding is that Parkinson's disease is rare, and there's no statewide registry of its incidence. Plus, it's a long-term disease, and it may reflect environmental exposures from decades ago. In 2014, Tulare County had the highest rate of Parkinson's-related deaths in the Valley, but it wasn't a standout across the state. Plus, many other Valley counties apply more paraquat. Syngenta, the chemical giant that manufactures gramoxone, whose main ingredient is paraquat, declined an interview for this story, but did issue a statement claiming its product is not associated with the disease. It has also funded studies that conclude that. The EPA and CDC do not mention Parkinson's disease on their paraquat information pages, but the EPA does acknowledge the emerging research in a regulatory filing from March 2016. Meanwhile, ongoing research out of UCLA aims to pinpoint the environmental exposures associated with Parkinson's disease here in California. For Valley Public Radio, I'm Carrie Klein.